one thing we're learning a lot, like, okay, Lord, oh, that's not how we're going to, but we do it like this. So a big pull or a big DNA part of the Well of Nashville is just host my presence. Don't get too clever. Don't get too preachy. Teaching McNuggets was the word I got. Like little bits of teaching, but lots of me. So we just kind of hang out, do a lot of lingering, built on worship, the word, and prayer, but just like letting things like this morning happen, just like going after the presence and ministry happens. So praise the Lord.
Well, let's see, next in line. Some of you know I do a weekly radio program where I feature the music of the 70s and the 80s. The early thing that we used to call the Jesus Movement had Jesus music. And unknowingly, I was playing so many albums that my friend Alex was doing percussion in the background. But he's lived here in Nashville on and off. He's back again. And when we pastored the Vineyard Christian Fellowship Nashville, he just so happened to be connected with the Vineyard music group for a while, and then Integrity. And I got to know him real well because he helped release our worship album from Vineyard Nashville, and it went around the world because, you know, that distribution thing they did. So I really honor this man because he's been there and seen it for so long. He's been an instructor in years past down in Waco, Texas, and he's just involved in so many things. So Alex, we're glad you're here today. He's back in Nashville again. And fill in a couple of the things. I did give you a little bit of a introduction there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good to be here. And first off, let me get this out of the way. Worship Leader magazine does national worship leaders conferences every year. And this year it's in Nashville, over here at Tribeca University. So I brought some sample magazines and also these flyers. And if you'll, you can ask me afterwards, or you can remember NWLC30. That would give you 30% off to go to this conference. This doesn't say all who's going to be there, but it's a unique conference because it's not just a concert. It's highly academic, and in fact, I know of several universities that give credit if worship leaders or aspiring worship leaders attend this conference. Dave Crowder is going to be there, Meredith Andrews locally, Nicole Mullen, Dr. Leonard Sweet, C. Dennis Williams, who's the pastor of AME Church in Oak Cliff, Dallas, Texas, Ronald Allen from Dallas Theological Seminary, who's an amazing teacher on the Psalms. Who else is going to be there? Matt Maher is going to be there. Phil Kagi is going to be there. It's a real wide. There's an academic slant, but there's also a highly spiritual slant to the conference. Okay, so look for this over there. I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade.
Me too. Did you really?
In 1969, I was fresh out of high school. So I'm old. I'm 66 years old. And got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Drums were my God. So I put those aside for a couple of years and moved into a Christian commune. And, you know, this was the Jesus Movement then. I'm at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And you know, witnessing on the streets and on the beaches. And so I went through all of that. And as a musician, and everyone here knows this, once you start playing, you can never stop. You know, if you're not playing, you're thinking about it. It's in your head, you know. And so I ended up coming back into playing and was blessed and fortunate to play with a lot of groups and on record, lots of records. So Andre Crouch on the road, I played with him. Larry Norman, I played with Larry for 3 years as his drummer. A group called Daniel Amos. A lot of groups and stuff. Sort of ended up in the executive side of things. Ran Vineyard Music. Was a vice president here in town at EMI years ago. Worked for Integrity. And so it's sort of a Forrest Gump experience. You know, I ran Vineyard Music for 3 years. And so I've, you know, so I've been really blessed in getting to do a lot of things. Somehow I ended up teaching, and I've been an adjunct professor at Dallas Baptist University for 7 years now. And now I'm teaching online because we moved back here. So, well, you know what? They stretch it a little bit. So in fact, at Dallas Baptist University, the DBU, the students have a saying, they go to Dallas Baptist University, but the B is silent. And I work with Worship Leader Magazine a lot in selling advertising, but also editorially, I help them a lot. So, and I'm helping with the conference because it's here in town. So, anyway, I've been blessed amazingly to do a lot of different things over the years.
So glad to have you here. All right, so probably no introduction needed. Gosh, I'm standing here feeling so honored to have Stephen in the house.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to be here. We sure feel at home with all of you. It's an honor. So just a quick, short kind of Reader's Digest version of our story. Second-generation pastor, worship leader, grew up in a church planning missionary family, and we just kind of carry that legacy on in my generation. So about 15 years ago, my wife and I moved down here with our kids and thought we were going to just stay in the whole music scene, which we kind of did, but the Lord also just said, no, I'm not done with you in the pastoral leadership side of things. And so my journey here in the last 15 plus years has been a mix of worship leading and pastoring and helping to build unity in the city, and so served in all those capacities simultaneously over the last number of years, and it's been absolute joy. So currently I'm the worship pastor at The Gate in Franklin, part of the pastoral team there, and then also I head up a prayer ministry called Franklin Prayer House. And Franklin Prayer House was birthed in 2012, and over the years we have hosted annual concerts of prayer, which gather leaders from all over the city to just seek God and worship together, and then also pray for our nation particularly. And then we have a prayer room as well that meets down in Franklin. In fact, it was nice to see you there this morning, Peggy. And then we also are just getting ready to beta test a internship program for young adults. So we're really excited about that. So Franklin Prayer House is really passionate about three things: intimacy with Jesus, unity in the church, and then equipping and training. And so our program director, actually Ryan Hall, is right here with me. He came with me tonight, this morning, and it's a joy to journey with him as well. So but it's been so fun to be a part of it. Really passionate about God's presence, about worship, about the local church, of what God does in the context of community. I think that's just this is why these kinds of things are important, in us finding ways where we're walking together intentionally. And so it's just been a joy. All the things that, it's funny, my journey has been, I think this is encouraging for a lot of worship people, writers and all that, is God had a unique assignment for me. Everything that's happened, and even with respect to the music industry, has happened in the context of the church community, which has been so fun. And I thought that I was hanging up. In fact, I was down here to sign a record deal. I was courted by almost every major label here when I came. And then I hung it up. I recorded a record and didn't pitch it to anybody because God called me to come on staff at Belmont Church. And I thought, this is crazy. So I literally just set that aside. And I thought, well, I won't do anything more musically. And then I came on staff, and all of a sudden I start getting called to sing on records and to do get involved with the last incarnation of Promise Keepers. And so I've been involved in all of that, and even went out on the road with you once. That was fun, Carl. And then just contributed to Worship Records with Integrity and Kingsway, and then recording my own stuff as well. But then pastoring, and so it's just been a fun mix, but it just once again to me underscores that music is really the overflow of God working in his people. Yes. So that's what I'm about.
So good. Thank you so much. And now the other Rob. Rob Still. So good. And of course, I work with Rob Fraser at Worship City at Artist Christian Testimony, where he serves, and I'm the care coordinator pastor for Nashville for ACT. And so I thought he was coming today, but we're happy to have one Rob in the house.
Yeah.
Please.
I have my own microphone.
And all these guys were at Belmont, except for, I guess, Alex.
Yeah, you're the odd man out. Hey, everybody. Man, where do I begin? My story is so unusual. I'm not a pastor's kid. I'm not a PK. Didn't grow up in the ministry, but my parents were Christian and all that kind of stuff. I'll just give you a couple highlights. I moved to Nashville to get in the music industry, and I was a music producer doing music for advertising, so like jingles, TV commercials, that kind of stuff. Came to church here. In fact, Carl's played on my jingles. Leanne sang on my jingles. Steve sang on my jingles. And it's really cool to, like, we do worship business, like, anyway, worship totally changed the direction of my life. When I was about in my mid-30s, was when I kind of had an encounter with the Lord, and it was really prompted by something Don Fento, who's the pastor here, would say. He's like, well, first I gotta tell you this, when I moved here, man, everybody's a musician, and they're all better than you, you know, and I literally, I even though I was a producer, I stopped playing guitar, like, I just stopped playing, you know. I wasn't good enough to play on my own sessions. And so anyway, Don was like, hey, if you play one chord on the piano or guitar, you get alone with God and you worship Him, you know, you worship Him personally. And so I was like at a really, really dry place spiritually, and I just started to do that. And I would open up the hymnal and I'd just start singing the hymns, and if I didn't know how they went, I would just make up my own melodies, and if I didn't like the words, you know, they're too much old English, I'd just change them around or rearrange it, and all of a sudden, man, I was writing like a ton of songs, and I was in this flow, man, and just, and I was real involved with the youth group here at Belmont, and we were here for 27 years, and so anyway, I started writing all kinds of songs for the youth group, and then I became like their youth worship pastor, and eventually became one of the worship leaders here. We had, at least a dozen really like world-class people. And eventually I became the pastor of worship and arts here. So, and then the last couple years, I do a lot of mission stuff. So I've been teaching in Romania the last 10 years. I go to Ukraine in May, teach at the theological seminary there on like songwriting and theology of worship and such. So my latest mission field has been the Methodist Church. Any Methodists here? Anybody?
I was raised Methodist.
Yeah. In a crazy set of situations, the Lord led me to be at the First United Methodist in Hendersonville, and I was there for 5 years. I helped them start a contemporary service, and then crazy of all crazies, I ended up being their like traditional guys. I wore a suit and tie. Nice. Open your hymnal number 345.
Wow,
direct the choir, the organ. And my organist, I got to say this, was a guy named John G. Elliott, who was original worship leader here. It was so annoying. We were doing more Belmont songs than Belmont. It was really an awesome, awesome season. And my latest assignment, and this just happened, I mean, you know, we're in times of acceleration.
Yeah.
And the Lord is shifting things mightily. So beginning of the year, I got a call, and now I have just joined the staff of the First United Methodist in Franklin, Tennessee, so they have the building that's downtown where the prayer thing is, and big facility on the corner of Matt Catcher and Franklin Road. So actually the congregation will find out this weekend, so you guys get the early news. So anyway.
Tell us quickly about your new podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, so one of the things, my purpose in life now is just to encourage wholehearted worship in spirit and in truth in any context. And so I try to write and publish and produce these kind of things. So I've got a book, and then I started a podcast called Daily Worship Devotionals. It's dailyworshipdevotionals.com. We'll go to my website, but it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on YouTube. I video record it also. And the basic premise is a 5 to 10 minute study of the Word of God, listen to the Holy Spirit, all within the framework of the Christian year calendar. So, like, I pay attention to things like season of Epiphany, this Lent, Easter, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway,
tell us once again how to get there. It's a great podcast.
If you go to iTunes, Rob Still, Daily Worship Devotionals, And then I'm on, you know, I'm on all the social media stuff, so Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, you can find me.
So one of the words that Rob just used was there seems to be a shift, an acceleration. We've heard the word momentum. I know one or two of the worship leaders here have seen a real fresh download of songs they've been writing like crazy. I want them just to share, as you pass the mic around, whoever wants to talk, and just give us a glimpse, as you see from your lens, what God is trying to do as we move into this new season. Wow. So, you know, for you personally, you have the mic. If you want to start, you can. And then whoever wants just to go around the... Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, I mean, in general, I'd say God is on the move.
Yeah.
And he's moving in multi-dimensional areas. Yeah. Like Carl said something earlier that hit me about just respecting all the different expressions and all the different ways that God is moving. It doesn't look in any one particular sound or style or anything like that. And for all of us to kind of just have a bigger macro picture of how diverse God is and just be affirming and blessing and welcoming, you know, people who don't look or sound or act like us. So that's one thing.
I pass the microphone on.
Well, I mean, I would just say, I was having this conversation just the other week with a friend of mine, and we were talking about the new sound. You talk with industry people, or you talk with people that are kind of in the church, and then also maybe in the prophetic vein, but then also in the musical vein, and a lot of times you'll hear, maybe you've heard these prophecies, there's a new sound coming, and I was talking with a friend of mine who works with Integrity, and we were talking about that, and I said, you know, as a pastor and a worship leader, I've begun to appreciate that a lot of times we have to try to think from God's perspective, and a kingdom perspective allows you to see that the purpose of God is not just to birth songs, it's to actually, he wants to see himself in us.
And so
this, I believe that at least a part of that answer to God birthing a new sound is actually what happens when people walk in a deeper degree of unity and maturity in Jesus. Because that reflects him and his goodness and his authority, his glory. And so, I don't know about you, but when you're in a place where people are with one heart and one mind glorifying God, there is not a sound like it on earth. And that's exactly what it'll be in heaven, every tribe, every tongue. And so I think that when the way that my pastor, Steve Fry, likes to put it, he says, you know, a lot of times we think that worship actually brings God's presence. I would say unity is actually what attracts God's presence, and worship maintains it. And so unity is something God, you know, Psalm 133, that's why when we seek relationship, you can't help but see songs and the work of the Spirit overflow out of that. And so that's really why I feel like when we contend for that, we see God move.
Yeah.
You know, whether songs are going to happen.
Yeah.
But unity is something that you intentionally do as an act of love, an act of selflessness.
Well said. Absolutely. As a, I abhor what's happened with worship music in a large sense, with it becoming a genre,
right,
and then the over formatting of it, and what's good worship. You know, I'm looking for real worship.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, if it fits within this format or it doesn't fit within this format. I cannot for the life of me imagine God the Father sitting on the throne and saying, sing me some more of that modern worship. Or, no, I don't want to hear that. Give me some Hillsong, right? I can't even imagine it. It's about real worship. And that can come from many streams,
right?
So, I'm always looking for real worship, and something that I see that's from my vantage point, collaboration for songwriters is a big deal. That's been coming for a while. And also, I don't know what to call them, worship collectives. Whereas there's an entity, you know, they might even have a name for their group. You know, let's say Porter's Gate, or you know, there are others too. There's Liturgical Folk out of Dallas, or but they're an entity that promotes themselves, but you kind of never know who's going to show up because they have a large pool of real worshipers connected with it. And so I see that as healthy and a sort of anti-industry, because labels can't put their hands around that. Or, you know, they don't get that. You know, so one other thing I want to say really that you said was I've always looked at my vocational life as not a career, it's a calling, all right? And when you look at your life that way, it sure takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? You don't have to worry about all these stepping stones to get to where you want to go with your career. It's in God's hands, and it's in your obedience, right? So it's a calling, not a career. That's it.
Good word. A couple of things. I felt like... obviously, as a leader, your people cannot go where you don't go first. And so it was important for me to dig deeper, for my well to go deeper as a leader, because I want to take people deeper, but I have to go there first. So I think that was my first statement. The next thing is about writing. So I would tend to write songs for the industry, worship industry. It has to be, you know, radio accessible. It had to be, you know, this many minutes. You have to get the hook in the first, you know, 60 seconds and all that kind of stuff. And so I used to look at those parameters and go, okay, how does this fit? And finally, just recently, I'm getting totally wrecked. Because I'm going upstairs to my attic and spending time with Jesus. And we're having some long walks and long talks. And I'm finding out I don't have to die to be spending time with him face to face. It can be happening right now. And so as I'm reading the word and spending time with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the other angelic beings that are showing up in my attic, I'm going, oh my word. And so I'm thinking, is this real? But it's happening. And so what's happening is this. As I'm getting acquainted with his person, he's showing me different things. One of them is, number one, who he is. And number two, who I am in him. John 17 says, I am in you and you are in me and we are one. I don't have to look for him somewhere. He's right here. So I'm beginning to write songs like he's right here. I don't have to beg for him to show up. He's here. He's now. I'm in him. He's in me. Oh my gosh, it's wrecking me. As a worship leader, I get so excited. And so this week I was up talking to him. And I was into the word, going into the word. Have you been, I don't know if you've been doing this, but it's new for me. And he's showing me stuff that I've never seen before. And I'm just blown away. And I said, oh God, you know, I'm just all in. I'm all in. And he looked at me and he goes, you know, that'd be a pretty good song. So yesterday I wrote it. So
where's that scripture?
But it was a response. And so anyway, my writing is totally wrecked. And he goes, you know, this isn't going to really probably be for the church at large at this point. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. Because those who are in this path, in this shift, have got to be singing new songs that are coming from the heart of God. And I want to be one who's writing those songs and putting words in people's mouths that are going to let them soar into the new places with the Father. So it's a new place. It's an exciting place. I'm glad to be alive. Wow. Thank you.
I'll only add a little bit because you guys nailed it. This idea, there's so much coming. and momentum. Thank you, sister, because I still feel them swirling. There's the Lord is sending help for things he wants to accomplish in us, and we all know it's bigger than us. It's almost like, Lord, here we are. And at the beginning of the year, we really got a strong word at the well. The Lord is saying, no looking back. And we use that as no turn back. No, the Lord says, no, really. Full steam ahead. You can't do much. And scripture says that. You can't set your hand to the plow and do that. But it got really strong. And that encompasses so much of every kind of ministry thing. But as worshipers too. So I'll just say that. Momentum in all of this. So the new sounds. Respecting the streams. One thing with the worship wars. I'll say this. As worship leaders and people that have got a long history in it. I think a long time ago. When we were 20 years into integrity music stuff and touring all over the world, and people started saying, well, I don't think God's on your guys' stuff anymore. And I'd be like, what do you think God really likes right now? And I was like, holy cow, I'm having a good time worshiping, and they're saying, I don't know, I think God's over here now. There's kind of this new, and then worship became an industry thing, and I was like, and I started feeling, man, Michael W. Smith shouldn't do a worship record. He's a CCM. Does he really get the worship thing? I know Michael. He gets worship. But Holy Spirit, like, right away is like, hey, son. And I'm like, because I was going like, Lord, what do you like right now?
Right.
And pretty quickly, he told me, son, I love everything that's about me. So he says, don't get into the worship wars. He was really clear, like, bless everything you see me doing, and you eat from the thing that you're loving right now that makes you intimate with me. And don't criticize, you know, so, but don't let the people get stuck in the formulas. Like, man, if I'm not sounding like such and such, and I won't give you a name, because that people get worried, like, if I don't get that sound, I'm not worshiping. I'm like, ah. No. But you can do it.
Yeah.
Enjoy the buffet.
That's right.
Whether it's Integrity or Vineyard or Maranatha or Hillsong or Bethel or da 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 da. And I look at that and go, awesome, God.
Yeah.
Because right away you can get on Facebook and the worship wars kind of explode. And I go, knock it off. Knock it off. Everything that's coming out, the Lord is using all of this stuff. And point of the spear stuff. I'm like, I want to do this. And I'm not going back there. And I'm blessing it. Man, I'm just blessed. Oh, yeah, Lord. Charge their battery. And it's all about what in the menu makes you intimate with the Lord. And then what's being birthed out of that intimacy. And it might just, like what we did this morning, was like, I could have done that all day. You know? So, but that wouldn't be on a record. You know? That wouldn't get on radio. But, you know, well, we don't care. It's just like, no, this was the big gig. You know, people say, well, you know, only 20 people showed up. Or maybe it was just 5 of us and the presence came. That's the big gig. You know, so trying to get churches as we press into this, like, you know, if it's just, can you meet Jesus right here? You know, or do you have to wait till 1,000 people are showing up? And we've all seen that. Worship leaders get hung up. Man, it's a bummer. Only 500 people here today. I'm like, oh my gosh. Jesus is right here.
Yeah.
What if nobody came?
Come on.
What if it was just you and Jesus?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember that, because we've all loved it. You know, we love, there is an energy with a lot of people. But when the Lord's showing up, it's just him and you. So point of the spear. Staying forward, blessing everything God wants to do, and the Lord will take care of all the other stuff. I'm trying to really simplify and not to be judging how things work. This is honoring the body.
That's right.
This is like having a perception of understanding the whole element of, like, who we are in the body of Christ.
Oh, Carl. Add to that.
What Carl was saying, it reminds me, when I teach, or I've taught at DBU, my students are always very interested in the Jesus movement. Mm-hmm. There's something very attractive to them about that. They, for the most part, they hate Christian music, they love worship, and then they love you know, secular music. But the kind of Christian, contemporary Christian, they don't have anything to do with that. And I can say that after 7 solid years of teaching. Okay. I've seen this dynamic. Well, one of the things that the 70s, or the Jesus movement, the early 70s, did not have was Christian radio. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Because what's happened is so much is that is created is generated for radio, as Leanne was saying. And so what I wanted to say was, all over Dallas, I mean, I can think of 8 to 10 places where there are these huge billboards that say the call letters of a local radio station. I won't say their name, KLTY, but anyway, KLTY, safe for the whole family. And I always think, excuse me, Jesus isn't safe for the whole family. What are you doing? And my students, when I'll play them stuff from Larry Norman, oh my gosh, we could never hear this on Christian. Why didn't we know about this? You know, this is honest. You know, this is, it resonates with them. And that's what the problem is with a lot of Christian music that they hear. It does not resonate with them.
That's so true, because a lot of the letters I get is because of internet radio. Internationally, they can hear Full Circle Jesus music. Yeah. And I'm playing all the 70s and 80s stuff, and that's what they want. Ah. And I don't get response from radio stations, but people who listen to iTunes or whatever. Such a good point. This has been a full meal here today. And I had some healing in my heart today when you shared about the whole essence of worship not being the genre or the style of music, or I mean the musicians. I mean, I got the cream of the crop sitting here. I mean, these guys play with excellence. If you go to the well like I do on Tuesday nights, I can hardly get out of there sometimes. But you know, where my heart got healed is that when I came here in 92, I started the church playing a guitar with 3 chords. And I was so embarrassed because everybody in the city was so good. But the presence came.
Yeah.
And people were healed, and there was prophecy and revelation. And that little group of 6 people grew and grew until we had this really huge church. And by that time, I didn't want to play the 3 chords. I wanted the better players. But God honors that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
His heart's so tender when anyone takes time, like David did out in the fields, just with what he had, to sing glory to the Lord. You know, we want to bless these folks today with special prayers. I mean, maybe you might want to prophesy over them privately some things you hear, but I think they need to have their arms raised up. You know, their knees, they need to have those strengthened. And many times you get one of 2 responses when you enter in. You get a lot of warfare coming back at you. And sometimes you go home and think, am I going to do this again? Those people were half asleep. Or they were asleep. That's very frustrating to a worship leader. But then the other response is that the light is so focused and so pinpointed that he melts even the coldest heart. And people just, they just melt in that presence. And it's so good. And so we know there's these dynamics. I wonder if you guys would be on the hot spot today. Well, you don't have to put hot chairs there, but just stand out here for a moment. Just that we could get around you as a body, and we could release to you blessing and encouragement and say thank you for taking this place at the point of the Spear. Thank you for coming together today to give us an example of hearts that are hungry for unity and for our city and our region to be impacted by the power there is in worship. And Lord, I want to repent right now as we all begin to pray. And some of you may want to come and stand behind them, put your hand on them, and just release strength and encouragement. And I believe in you, and I'm so thankful for you. But Lord, I realize that we have been critical at times at different expressions in this city, different kinds of worship that just wasn't our kind of worship. Maybe it was a different cultural worship. Maybe it was too loud and not acoustic enough. We've made these judgments. And I just want to repent for the body of Christ. When men and women of God have stood before us to say, I don't know quite how to do this right, but I want God to touch you. I want God to be alive in this place. And I'll do the best I know how to release the presence. And many times it wasn't pretty. There were some notes that were off. And yet, Lord, we made mistakes by judging them. And we judged their hearts because of the performance. And Lord, we repent for that today. We say, God, we don't want that in us. We don't want this because you were sitting there so pleased and we were finding fault. Help us, God, not ever do that again. Just be grateful that anytime someone lifts up your name, we love this people here, Lord, this tribe. We ask that you would empower them, that this tribe would increase. It would be impregnated by more of your power, oh God, and there would be such multiplication in this new generation that so surprises me, that are taking to these expressions of worship in groups that don't need a name or doesn't have to have a star. They just come together as a family, and we want that to increase. We sense the authenticity and the genuineness on that. So, Lord, we just want to lay hands on these people. We want them to know we stand with them. We empower them to do what you call them to do. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We need you, guys. We need you. And we love you. Yes, Lord. Encourage them today. Encourage them. They're not forgotten.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we just come before you right now. And wow. What we have received this morning. Not just in the release of the sound that they brought to us this morning, and the heart of you, Jesus, flowing from them. But the revelation that has come forth from each one of them, Lord. How they know you. Not they don't just know of you. They know you. They know you intimately. And it is so evident in what they speak and what they declare and how they release the sound of worship. And so, Lord, I just want to bless each one standing here today. Lord, it is your heart for us to first and foremost, even as people of prayer, like myself and others here, that we can't even come to you in prayer if we don't first know you. And the best way to know you is to worship you. As our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And Lord, I just ask for greater intimacy.
Yes, Lord.
With each worship leader here, especially my sister here, what you just declared earlier was just so profound. As a mighty woman of God, as a worship, one who not only worships her King and knows her King, but releasing the heart of her King through her voice. And I just proclaim that the love of the Father, as you get in those intimate times, in those intimate places with Him, He is going to release through you such an intimacy that it is going to flow like a river into every person. You're not just going to be a part of the well now. You're going to release the river. The river of God is going to flow through you in these deep intimate times. I just hear the Lord saying, as in these deep intimate times that you are with me in the heart of me, that you are in the heart of me, I and you, you and me, that you're going to flow like a river, and it's going to be us and him, us and him, not just you and he. And so, Lord, I just thank you today, God. I thank you, Lord, of what you have not only imparted through the years in each one, but how they are now are releasing and imparting to so many in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. I came up here because I had a word for the panel, and the Lord led me to pray for Jared, so I'm going to do that right now. Lord, we thank you for this friend of artists.
Yes, Lord.
For the one that holds up their hands, the one that encourages them, understands them. Father, a lot of people do not understand artists, but Jared does, and I thank you for him. For those on the panel, I feel the Lord is saying this. That word authenticity just flooded my soul. And that he is pleased that you have chosen authenticity.
Yeah.
Because he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. Many lips come close to him, but the hearts are far from him. And we are coming into a time, and I believe we are there, where there is an emphasis on truth. You are not going to fool this next generation coming up with slick songs well produced. They want the real thing, and I applaud them. I was there when I was their age. I am not their age. I am still there, and it blesses me to see you who have walked many miles in this, maybe coming back to a first love.
That's so good. Our time has gotten away from us, but I hope you will continue to stand with them in prayer and maybe give them a word. I'm so grateful, all of you, for coming. It means so much to know that we can connect in this level. I want to ask you guys just to give me one half a second. I need all of you to pray for me and for Worship City Alliance next month. I'm going to go out into some uncharted waters, and I'm inviting someone to come and address an issue that we don't want to address, really, in the church. Dr. David Foster will be in town for NRB, and he's head of Pure Passion Ministries. And he's going to address the sexual politics that go on within the Church of Jesus Christ, because nobody wants to talk about or bring into the light some of these things that we're giving place to instead of the gospel of Jesus. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if we have five people here when they see that ad go out. It's not necessarily a happy subject, but we do need his insights. We need to be freshly empowered, you know, to stand for the truth. God hasn't changed his mind just because our society did. So, at any rate, pray this next month and please try to come. Thank you again for your support. I guess I was supposed to say I do have a swipe card on my phone if you're still wanting to give anything to the Worship City Alliance. And then the last thing is that we'll have a time for fellowship. There's some food available if you want to stay and talk for a while. We've got time to do that. Phil, being one of our advisors, would you pray over our meal?
Gracious Lord, for this day we are thankful for the simple things of food, water, sleep, a good place to lay down, and live a day. Cars that run, people that love us. We give thanks for all of these things.
Thank you, Lord.
And so much more. In Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you all for coming. Bye-bye.